Hi, friends. Welcome to The Butter Dish. Before we dive in today's episode, just wanted to thank you and take a moment for being here with us at The Butter Dish. Heidi and I kind of can't believe that we've got a podcast, but whether it's episode one you're joining us for or 31, we are incredibly grateful for your open-mindedness, your patience with us, as well as your willingness to evolve and change the way that you think or consider the way that you think. So without further ado, we want to introduce you to episode 31 with our friend Amber Brazicki of Biceps After Babies, where we talk all about quitting. Enjoy the episode. Hey guys, it's Natalie Dulaney
and Heidi Ballard,
and welcome to The Butter Dish. Who are we hanging out with today, Heidi?
Zach Anderson, also known as Motion Sustained.
All right, so we definitely want to hear about who Zach Anderson is, but I have to say, like, his name, you know how we definitely love a play on words. I actually love his Instagram handle, Motion Sustained, because he's also an attorney.
Oh, so, come like, on.
Yes.
I didn't even know that. And I thought that was good. Oh, yeah.
I just want you to know how much I appreciate your handle, because as someone with an Instagram handle that took a lot of time mentally, I want to just know that I do want you to know that I appreciate yours. Okay, Zach Anderson, tell us about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, So many people don't realize that. And I've had the handle for, I don't know, like 8 years or something like that. And so when people catch on and it like hits them, it's one of my favorite things. So it works out pretty well. So yeah. That actually goes really well into describing who I am. So I am an attorney full time, but I also coach nutrition online with Kate Lyman. And so fitness and wellness has been a huge part of my life for a very long time. I was a collegiate swimmer. I actually swam at BYU, swam distance freestyle and butterfly. So fitness has always been a major part of my life. And then obviously the law. So hence Motion Sustained. And just feeling, you know, like our lives always need to be moving forward in some way. Although I'm trying to get better at not like being okay with some stagnation. That's
between sets. I like to think about it. Yeah.
I live in Lincoln, Nebraska. I am a dad to a young toddler named Maeve. She just turned 18 months.
Aww. Good luck.
Yeah, she is so fun being her dad. I don't know what I'm doing with parenting, but I think that's just parenting as a whole.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. You're doing it right.
Anyone who says that they know, avoid them.
Yeah, and somebody, anybody who's slightly concerned about not doing well enough, you're probably a really good parent.
Yes. Right? Okay, good, yeah.
You think you've got it figured out? I'm scared of you. Yeah.
No, I most of the time I'm like, I just acknowledge that no matter what I do, good or bad, she's probably going to have to go to therapy for it one day. Like, so
right,
like,
just own it. It's fine.
I acknowledge that now, you know.
It's okay.
My husband's always like, I don't think you have enough childhood traumas. We should give you a few more just so you get your money's worth when you go to your therapist.
I have been an attorney since 2012, so we're in 2022, so 10 years, gosh. I've been coaching nutrition for the last 4 years, and I have coached probably around 350 clients during that time. It's really, I feel like I'm very fortunate enough to have two jobs that I actually really do love. I work for a legal nonprofit who provides civil legal services to people who can't afford it. So that's really fulfilling. It's one of the only ways that I'm actually staying as an attorney, because attorneys are the worst as a general rule.
I know, it'll have to be a different podcast, but he's like one of the few people who are like, please don't go to law school.
Yeah.
Please don't go to law school on Instagram.
I tell all people all the time, they're like, I'm thinking about going to law school. I was like, you have a lot of time to rethink your career. Please do so right now. Yeah. And other little things about me. So I just came out as a gay man about 6 months ago. I know that's people who follow me on Instagram know that about me. That's been something I've been a bit more open about. So big life changes happening in my life as well. And really, I know our topic today, but one of the big things that is really important to me with being a nutrition coach, and then also being really open about these parts of my life, even though I realize I don't have a responsibility per se to do that, I think it's really important to kind of have these moments where we're open about the reality is that life is just sometimes really hard.
And yes, amen. Right.
I want people to realize that despite that, you're not alone in your struggles. You know, the other part that we all share in common is the fact that Mormonism has been a part of our lives for some point in time. And I've been really open about my exit from Mormonism. You know, but I also know that it's still something that is heritage and important to you. And also helping people learn a dynamic of you can have these really meaningful relationships, even when there are things that are like really important to you and those change, and being able to rework those types of things and realize that you can have a lot of really complex feelings and towards people, towards yourself, towards your body, towards your person, all yes. these things. And like, one of my big goals is to acknowledge that it's not necessarily simple. The simplicity is in the complexity. And the more that we're willing to acknowledge that, like, the happier we're going to be. And so it's kind of hard for me because I choose to be very vulnerable in some of my posts. And hopefully that's not taken advantage of. But one of my bigger goals is to help people see, like, listen, your humanity is the most interesting thing about you. And I want you to be able to connect with mine so you can see you're not alone in what's going on in your struggles in your life. So that's a little bit about me.
Wow. Amazing.
I love it so much. And I think that that's something that Heidi and I have actually really tried the last year or two, is to definitely be more vulnerable, more open about struggles and just being honest. And I think especially in the space that we're in, especially on Instagram, you know, you definitely see a lot of like curated lives on Instagram. And I cannot think of anything more toxic than that. Because to your point about, you know, what has happened in like the last 5 or 6 years in the evolution of your life, it's like, it's interesting how we take these, you know, whether they're struggles or inner conflicts or, you know, problems or whatever we want to name them, and we always end up simplifying them with weight loss, right? It's like, how many times were you like, oh, I'm sure if I do a cut, I'll feel better, mm-hmm. right? Like, my life is falling apart, but let's start a deficit.
Yes.
Or I'm really, really stressed. It must be my body, my physical body. So I should go into a deficit. Like, I feel like so many people answer their problems and their issues with weight loss. Right?
Totally.
And then,
yeah, go ahead. When in reality, because of the struggles that you're going on in your life, you need to be able to think reasonably. You need to be able to think whole, which means you actually
wow. need food for?
Function with whatever's thrown your way, because we're not thinking reasonably. We're not acting.
We're reacting.
So
we're
reacting. 1,200 calories yes. is not therapy then.
Yeah.
No, it's not a solve. Oh, let's see that one more time.
No, it's a hysterical displacement activity is what it is.
I wonder if people actually acknowledge that. Like, I really am entering into like a hysterical displacement activity for the next 6 weeks. Oh.
You and I have been doing that with Korean dramas for several months now. It's a thing.
It works. We'll get you on those after this episode.
Okay. Perfect.
You don't even know what good things are coming
so,
to you.
Oh, good, I think let's so come excited. To like the really what we're going to talk about today, guys, is how weight loss isn't therapy. Dun, dun, dun. And people who are listening to this are like, I don't know. I feel really amazing after I lose a bunch of weight.
Yes.
So let's talk about it. What does okay. that even mean? Weight loss isn't therapy.
I mean, we've all been in that moment where we're thinking like, my life is falling apart. You know what will make me just so much happier and seem like everything gets in line? You know, if I just lost a few pounds, like everything in my life just goes better, right?
Totally. Like,
I would feel so good about myself.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's like our first go-to is the moment that our lives are shit. We immediately go to, I think I just need to lose some weight.
Like, well, right. It's so funny how that, and it's crazy. This reaction, like a feeling, a thought or a feeling comes up, we disapprove immediately. We need to like fix it or control it so that we can avoid, if we can stop this feeling, we can get a better feeling. Because we can't tolerate it. So we have to react instead of questioning, is it really true that am I really this judgment I have in my head? And like per our previous episode with Julie Hanks, when we collapse ourself and our body as one thing, you know, so therefore if I fix my body, somehow I'm fixing myself. Like that is not at all how it works. We, I can tell you were wanting to say something, Zach.
Oh no, I'm just like, I want to say amen and a women.
I love a woman.
Yeah. Sorry. We are
no. Oh my God.
Hearing God here and praising God, so it's okay.
That's another podcast.
Yeah.
Oh man, we could talk about that. I think of all the major aspects of my life until I became a nutrition coach. And even the first few years I was a nutrition coach, like I got into that mentality of thinking all these things are going to be resolved simply by losing weight. And the biggest thing was during that time, I wasn't seeing a therapist. So it's like, no wonder I used that as a method to be able to feel good, because yes, of course there's a dopamine hit by the, when you see the scale go down, or when your clothes are fitting differently, or when you feel confident, quote unquote, confident enough to take off your shirt, or someone compliments you based off of how you're looking. But those are just like such fleeting examples of that big internal work that actually needs to be taking place. And it's just one of the big things that I really encourage my nutrition clients to do is, when we get into those thoughts, having a lot more curiosity about where they're coming from, why we have the desire to do that, because I think it's that curiosity that helps us see maybe weight loss isn't the best option. It doesn't mean that it can't be an option, but it might mean I want to lose weight, but also if I'm wanting like holistic full health, maybe in addition to, you know, working on eating, my eating habits or my eating patterns or trying to lose weight, I also need to get help from a licensed mental health practitioner or a life coach or someone to be able to help me work through all these other things that I've been avoiding simply by trying to be fit or try to look fit. Cool.
And it's so ironic that we have this mind full of negativity. We see something we don't like, we experience more negative emotion than we think we can tolerate. So let's go to weight loss so that we can fix it and we can get better emotions. But the process of weight loss doesn't actually help your body feel better, physically better. So you really are just going to be adding more negativity to more negativity. And then when you can't stick to it because you're not being self-supportive and you're so overly focused on the scale that you're not looking for diverse ways to support yourself and help yourself towards your goals effectively, like miraculously you can't do it. And then you blame yourself. And then the whole cycle starts again.
You're the one feeling like you're broken, when in reality, you're not the broken one. It's the methods that you put into place that are actually not helpful, that aren't doing you any favors, that aren't actually serving you. You know, most of the clients that I work with are parents, really high demand professionals. I work with a lot of other doctors and lawyers, medical professionals, CEOs of companies. And one of the big things that they don't have is a lot of time. And on top of parenting, which we've just discussed is like just hard enough to do, is a full-time endeavor in and of itself. And so they come to me and they want to be able to lose weight. And I'm like, great. But in addition to wanting to lose weight, like we need to also look at all these other factors that are going on in your life. And we need to practice a lot of grace, because you're inevitably going to have situations, whether it be from traveling or family or whatever else it might be that's happening to you professionally, that's not going to support what it would take to be able to lose this amount of weight in this amount of time. So I'm a big believer in holding yourself accountable to the actions that you can to be able to, you know, have habits that support your life. But bigger than that is offering yourself the grace and the capacity to make mistakes and to be curious about those mistakes so you can actually learn from them, as opposed to, well, I just f***ed up, I'm a failure. Totally. Or, yeah, this is clearly on me. And I have to remind them, like, look at how you got to where you're at in your life. You did plenty of to get there. Why are you holding yourself to such a more difficult, more impossible standard simply because it's dieting? And so helping them see that they've actually created these methods before and to be able to integrate that into these other
practices.
As professionals, as parents, and I'm sure that you are both the same way, we are the least forgiving of ourselves to be able to do that. Like, hello, I'm shame central. Like, you want to
good company. Don't you worry.
Yeah. You need anything on the way, let's all pick it up, because I'm going to go on a shame spiral real soon. You know? So
shame sandwich.
Yeah. Let's add some more condiments of like guilt on that too. You know, so my biggest thing is just helping them realize, like, hey, guess what? Like, we can lose weight in a way that it like actually involves your humanity. And I'm going to be as big of a resource to you as I can. But here are some other resources to be able to help you in those other areas too, so that we can like really have an approach of sustainable happiness, which is not simply by losing weight.
Totally.
One of my favorite things that like Heidi likes to, you know, to bring up, especially in like our coaching with our women, is that like, you know, shame, you know, should have already mastered everything, right? And I think it's really interesting how you brought up with like professionals and things like that. It's like, I feel like sometimes people who are incredibly successful automatically are like, well, I should be good at everything then, right? Yeah. And so like when like weight loss is, I mean, weight loss is hard. It's interesting. It's like, it's easy, but it's one of the hardest things you'll ever do.
Yes. Right?
And I think it's funny how like whatever context you're in, whether you are incredibly successful or like a lot of times we find people who are like math teachers and like, why am I not good at counting macros?
Oh my gosh, I know.
And you're like, because being good at counting macros has nothing to do with like being really good at math. But I think people equate the two, right? It's like, if I'm successful, like if I'm like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, I should be really, really good at losing weight because everything that I do should be easy.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the tricky thing about weight loss or any kind of transformation that you want. And like to your, both of your point about like the shame spirals and things like that. It's like, there isn't really a place where you've mastered everything, first of all, right? But it's interesting how they like to, they take, you know, these stress levels or the things that they want about themselves. And they believe that dropping weight is going to make them feel lighter as far as like, you know, mentally and emotionally. But in reality, it's like losing physical pounds doesn't actually give you that kind of freedom and that mental space that like, I think people think. Because I think we've come to this place where we believe like if we're happy with our bodies and we're happy with ourselves, and that can be a solve and a correction for every single thing. But what I think is kind of ignored, and what I like about like what we both do, is that like we've really brought mental health into the forefront. Because I think that like while mindset is a very buzzy place that people are at right now, like, oh, you need good mindset. It's like, yeah, but also like mindset can also be a band-aid if you're not really addressing it. Like,
yeah, you can suppress yourself into a really positive mindset for short periods of time.
Right. And like the toxic positivity thing is really real. Like I think sometimes we see that, especially on Instagram, it's like, well, you just have to have better mindset. It's like, okay, but like if you're not really right. Wait,
I want to hear this. Yeah, please. Right? A better mindset. Yeah.
I tell people all the time, like, a shitty situation can be a shitty situation. You don't have to look for a silver lining. It's okay if it's just a just a bad thing.
Have your own back on it. That person made you mad. It's not your fault. Like you don't have to somehow take the blame back. Just have your own back for one second in your emotions till you calm down and then start asking questions. But otherwise you're just reacting from the emotion in a different way.
And I think this is all super relevant, and probably the time frame for all of us is probably really similar. You know, like you've talked about this last year when you've realized like maybe your approach to coaching hasn't been the same with a lot of your clients and how you've approached your own mental health. I think we're all in this collective exhaustive like state because of the pandemic and how much that's really, you know, pulled a lot from us. You know, one of the big reasons why I've been super open about my mental health, not only was on top of being the pandemic, but, you know, Laura, my ex-wife, we had issues with fertility towards the beginning of the pandemic. And then we had a baby in the pandemic. You know, and so that, you know, that in and of itself was a really challenging time. And during that time is when I started to realize a lot of things about my sexuality as well. And, you know, it was around the time that I also left Mormonism, and I formally left Mormonism, and I became public about that. And so also during that time was when my mental health medications weren't doing what I was hoping that they would do. So I was having to increase my, you know, dosages or trying different meds, which played a direct role in my ability to lose weight when I wanted it, because I wasn't able to lose weight based off of the side effects of the, of, you know, and I was trying to, you know, go on and cut because I'm like, well, and because I was going through those things, like I've got all these other parts of my life that are kind of falling apart. So what should I do? I should, you know, also
lose weight. Yeah.
And so I think that these last 2 years have been really helping us reevaluate, like, yes, we understand the benefit to losing weight for some people. Yes, we support that goal, but let's also ensure that we are caring for ourselves in other ways, because it's not that quick fix.
Yeah.
And I think that we've all tried the quick fix in so many ways these last 2 years, where we're kind of waiting, like, and just like we're literally in a pool of water and just swimming around and not getting anywhere and just wondering why we're so tired. And so that's one of
treading water. Yeah.
We're treading water, and it's like we've been doing it for hours and we're just becoming more and more exhausted. And so I think that's why it's really important for us to be able to kind of have these things and recognizing there's this universal exhaustion that's happening. And we do have to address some of those other things, which is why I'm such a huge advocate for using licensed mental health practitioners to be able to do
totally. That. And making sure that this goal you have to lose weight isn't basically like a flight reaction, trying to outrun your emotions or hold your breath or arm hang your way, you know, just hold on until you get to this X number on the scale or whatever it is, thinking that that's when it'll all be over. Finally, right. Then you can rest. When like, that's not, the three of us know when it comes to weight loss, oh, this is where a whole other phase begins called maintaining your weight loss. So it's like, it's not some rush to the finish line and then all the work ends. You're not dropping your pounds off at some, you know, at the post office, not to be collected again. Like this is like, it, so if you're starting a cut with desperation, like you're not going to get what you think you're going to get. And then again, the process of disillusionment and shame begins, and then you will find yourself back here again and again. And we're all so tired of it. For those of us who have been able to lose the weight, we realize that's not the thing that we thought it was. It's not the land of Oz, you know? And then those of us who haven't are just getting so burnt out with the struggle and the expectations.
And I think especially what, you know, one of the things that and I've talked about this a lot, and I think it parallels, you know, I am actually a huge supporter of emotional and stress eating. I think it's a great tool to be able to use.
Yeah, as long as you know you're doing it. Yeah.
I think it provides us connection to remind us things that brings us comfort. I think that's absolutely valid. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my big concerns is though, is that when that's our only tool that we're using to be able to find, you know, happiness or peace, or to be able to feel this sense of like,
because that's addiction. Yes. Right. When you only have one pathway to feeling good, that's addiction. Yes.
And so that's why I think it's not, again, I'm not shaming anyone who wants to lose weight. I think that's a great tool to use in your toolbox. If you do actually believe that it helps you feel mentally and physically better, which I think that it can, but it can't be the only tool that you're using or the only one that you're relying on in order to do that. So if you want to lose weight, yes, absolutely do that, but find out what the reason is for it. If it's to improve your mental well-being, it's probably not the best tool to be able to use. It doesn't mean you can't use it. Mm-hmm. It just means that maybe we should go with a few other ones that might actually help with what's going on.
Well, and so many times I think everyone uses, you know, fixing their body as a fix for emotions and their mental well-being. Like they believe that they're the same. Like mm-hmm. if I fix my body, then my emotions and my mental well-being will be fixed. But it's like, we're discovering more and more. It's like, how many times have you had people lose the weight and they're still not happy with themselves?
Well, absolutely.
Because right? I think they do. They believe that it's like, you know, 165, 164, 163, 162, 161, 160. Oh, I'm happy now. Yeah. It's like, honestly, there's also something worth questioning. Like if 5 pounds can make you really happy, then what is it about that 5 pounds and that number that is making you happy?
Well, right? Totally. I mean, you think of any other relationship where you're constantly being criticized and then let's say you change something and then you're just not criticized anymore. Like, does that somehow make you feel accepted or make you feel really positive or really whole? No. So maybe you lose weight and you don't have like your genes fitted a little different. You don't feel maybe your tummy spilling over the way it used to or whatever. So you don't have those self-criticisms, but are you also saying, man, I super love you. I love how you look. Like, you know, yeah, I love how this body feels. I'm so grateful for what my body can do, or you know, whatever. Is it really that thing? Or are we now obsessing about like, oh, where did all this cellulite come from? And how come my butt isn't saggy? And I need to be more muscular. And I'm starting to look so old. Like these are if the pattern is I'm a problem, must fix the problem, then that pattern will always continue.
Yes. Yeah, because I mean, essentially, we're just reinforcing the exact same behaviors and the exact same thoughts, like with no change there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, you've had change happen on the scale, but you've had no internal change. You're using the same type of dialogue. I mean, in your reality, you are living insanity. Like you are
totally
the walking definition of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something different. How many times have we all sought to lose weight, thinking that would make the difference, done it, and then realized, oh shit, I still have all this other stuff in my head that has actually not been resolved by losing this weight. And you're terrified because you just did all these things, you know,
totally,
in hopes that you resolve it and you maybe actually just made it worse.
Well, and even if you don't have that realization yet, it's just as toxic to believe like, wow, I deserve to feel good about myself because I fixed myself. Like that I definitely have points in my life where I thought like, oh yeah, I've, I've really improved here, you know, but it, which again, just reinforces this belief that your worth can be increased or decreased by how you look or what you do, which is not true. We all have equal, infinite, unchanging worth. And that's not even just a Mormon belief. That's a psychological universal belief, right? Like we all have worth, and when we reduce ourselves down to this belief that again, we can be fixed or improved, that belief, just like all or nothing thinking, like you may think you have it all, but the pendulum swings the other way where it's like, oh no, I'm broken again. I've gained the weight back. Now I'm back to being this. I can't go back to the way I was. Like that was an inferior version of myself. Like that. These are the mental traps that make all of this so painful and difficult.
So I have a question for both of you real quick. So as somebody who hasn't like pursued like struck like actual like official therapy, like I haven't had like an actual therapist session, although like I'm definitely like working my way there. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is that like brings you to a place where you like realize that you like actually need to see somebody? Cause I think there's a lot of people out there who are like, and myself included, I'm going to fully admit it. Like, it's like, oh, I don't know that I really need therapy. Like I'm mostly okay. And then as I've worked with like a life coach and like Heidi Moore, I realized like, oh, holy crap. I have like a lot of stuff that I need to unpack, but it's also about like getting to a place where you like believe that like, not only is it like important for you to have and necessary for you to have, but at the same time, like, I think there's something about like admitting that you're broken, right? That I think mm-hmm. some people aren't quite there yet, right? Because they do. They think they can fix it with weight loss, right? So it's like, if I've had successful weight loss, then for sure, then I don't really need a therapist because I've fixed myself, right? Mm-hmm. Or like mentally and emotionally, I'm in like a better place than I was like 30 pounds ago or whatever it is. But like for both of you who've actually been to therapy and have had structured therapy, like what are some things that people can kind of maybe look for or thought patterns they can look for that like would actually like be like, no, that might be actually something worth addressing. And I know like in our last podcast with Julie Hank, she's like, she's maybe told one person that like they didn't really need it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the assumption should be that everybody does, mm-hmm. but like, I'm curious to know your thoughts for like make a believer out of me.
Like, this is the episode where we convince Natalie to go to therapy. Yes. Right, Zach, what do you got?
So I kind of want to bring in the comment before with the question that was posed. And because one of the big things, because it what you brought about us having inherent worth, like I'm already getting emotional thinking about, because that's one of the biggest things that I've struggled with my entire life as a gay man who grew up in a very anti-LGBTQ environment. Mm-hmm. And so I was led to believe that I was lesser than based off the type of dialogue that I had heard. And so one of the things that I not only see a therapist now, I also have a life coach because I'm going through the biggest change of my entire life at 37 years old, being able to live my true and authentic self for the first time while, you know, trying to raise a child, you know. And so one of the things that she has reiterated to me many times is when I came out of, you know, my mom, I was loved immediately. I didn't have to do anything to earn it. I didn't have to gain any validation to be loved. I was simply just loved the moment that I was born. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard for me because I've never believed that. And so, but there have been all sorts of reasons why, obviously, with the type of dialogue that happened within my own family. And it's at no fault to my family. They did the best they could with the information that they had based off what they knew about homosexuality. And then beyond that, an indoctrination about how a gay person can change, a very false one, but one that was believed to be true at one time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, me believing those types of things and me having to seek the need for validation where I had a really successful swimming career and I was, you know, I literally did everything that I could, not only to have the gay part of me taken away, but to have some sense of validation. So I felt like I had inherent worth. And I know that my experience might resonate with some people, regardless of if you're gay or not, feeling we all want a sense of belonging. We all want a sense of feeling comfortable and feeling safe. But there's been either experiences or that we've had or things that we've been taught that have caused us not to believe that. And so therapy has been one of the most important things for me to be able to see that my worth is inherent regardless. Because I think to some extent, so many of us, one of the bigger reasons why we probably seek for weight loss might be for a health reason, but we feel like there's a worthiness to being smaller, to being thinner. Or I mean, especially for females, for men, it's probably to be more muscular or to be able to look more masculine. And so we want this sense of acceptance in order for that to be able to happen. And I mean, I definitely, that has been a big thing that's resonated with me. Again, being a gay man who's been told that he's effeminate, trying to have a very masculine look. And so, you know, a lot of my nutrition is not only, you know, my goals for nutrition was not only to lose weight, but then to gain mass. And like, this is a real thing in within the fitness space for men as a whole, but especially homosexual men, because we want to masculinize, we want to appear masculine when we are, when people suppose that we're feminine simply because we're attracted to other men. And so it brings us like whole other dynamic. So that's my long way of saying, I think therapy really does help us break apart where we feel like we're the inherently broken ones. Because we all feel that way in some way, I think. I don't think that I am overgeneralizing that. We all feel like there's part of us that is broken. And so therapy is a great way for us to be able to realize that like we are inherently loved simply by being. We don't have to do anything to earn that. We don't have to lose weight to do that. We don't have to accomplish things to be able to do that. Like we are loved just as we are. Yes. And so if we have someone helping us to be able to learn that, as hard of a lesson that is, because truthfully, it is the hardest lesson that I'm learning, is that I am inherently worth and I have inherent worth. That's not something I've ever believed. Mm-hmm. And so for someone to tell me that is very hard for me. So I'm having someone help me learn what that means.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm such a huge advocate, is because one of the reasons why many people choose weight loss is because they feel inherently broken.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing if you want to lose weight. Again, it's just making sure that you're not doing it so you don't feel less broken, because that actually in the end leaves you feeling more broken as a result. So that's why.
I think we all have that kind of dissonance, you know, where it's like you feel like, you know, if people view you as feminine, but you need to be more masculine, right? And then we have this weird layer of like femininity, you know, expected of women, but at the same time, it's like, but be really super lean.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like interesting how it's like, so which one is it? And it's all like society's like pressure on us. And like, which also conflates like our fact that we feel like we're not worthy, because in certain spheres or certain spaces, we aren't.
Totally.
We're not deemed worthy by certain people and peers or whatever. Or it's just, it's such a toxic place. It's like, you know, we've definitely heard the word like toxic masculinity thrown around, but like how many times do we have toxic femininity too? Right?
Totally. Yeah.
And it's like so hard, I think, when we have these competing, but then at the same time, we're like, but I want to be valuable and worthy as is, regardless. But society's like, no,
fit our standards. Well, there's definitely a lot of what you just said that I can relate to. And I think a lot of people can, and even particularly 37 being, whew, that's a rough year. that was about the same age it was when things kind of fell apart for me a little bit as well, personally. Brené Brown calls it the midlife unraveling. Mm-hmm. This point where you realize that all of the adaptations to stress that you came up with from as like a little person to a young adult, the ways you decided to fix yourself or people please or perfect or get this, you know, for me, just getting approval is a really, really big deal. And again, every time I'd hit one of those approval milestones, I'd think, I fixed myself. Yeah. I'm a little bit closer. I didn't realize, of course, that I was thinking that, but that's where, you know, it just made me so much more hungry for the next one, right? And so, when I just had a really damning combination of experiences that just left me like, I had no idea where to go. I had no idea how to get back what I felt like I lost. I had no way, I had no idea how to move forward. And I knew I needed a different skill set. And so that was, I went to therapy to fix myself.
it's because we're not really taught those tools in order to do that. So we see weight loss as a tool, you know, then we're given hundreds of ways to be able to use that tool.
Yeah. And it is transformative, right? Weight loss is a transformative tool. So we buy into that.
Yeah, totally.
And so it's just like, the tools that we're given are just tools that we see from the outside. It's what we see on magazine. Like, you don't see a magazine cover of just like, oh, like Heidi Klum goes and sees her therapist.
Oh, I know. Look how much better she feels inside. Yeah. Can't you see it? Like, it's not what they can sell. Yeah, they can only sell the tangible, right?
And I mean, the age of social media has only exacerbated that, right? Because we're seeing people's perfectly curated feeds on
like a bajillion magazine covers everywhere, not just at the grocery store.
And we don't see the editing that takes place. We don't see how the rest of their life is a complete shit show. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I know that, you know, when I first came out, I would have people in my DMs are like, I thought that you were married and I thought you had these types of things. And I was like, you saw the perfectly curated parts of my life as I tried to pose to be a straight man, which I was not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, in reality, you're not seeing all of the things that are inside of me that are happening, that are taking place. And so social media, I think, has only exacerbated this idea by thinking if we lose weight or if we look this certain way.
Play the part.
These are the tools that you use in order to have this happiness, right? And you're not given the actual tools. Just like no one teaches us how to do taxes, and yet here we are taxing. And still no one knows other than accountants.
Right? But like Brené Brown says, fitting in, all of that role playing and all of that, all of the pleasing and whatever, fitting in is the biggest obstacle to actually connecting with people.
Right.
Connecting with yourself, connecting with others, because it's not authentic. But again, the awareness, the moment of awareness, like I maybe on some level I knew these things, but I was never fully conscious of it until I just had a few events line up where it was just like, I couldn't ignore it anymore, you know?
Right. And I think it's also really interesting because I'm going to assume that a large amount of your listeners are probably female. Probably a large amount of your Instagram followers are female. Mm-hmm. And
we have 18% men.
Yeah.
I have a lot of cousins. I'm just kidding.
That Mormon heritage really coming in handy. But I mean, I have the same thing. I would say about 20% of my followers are men. Because also men don't want to talk about mental health issues when in reality they're gonna be the ones who would benefit from it the most. And the added layer is, you know, are you seen as feminine, which is not a bad thing, but many men do think that. But especially me being a gay man, they're just like, well, I don't want to look like I associate with homosexuality in any way or those types of things. So finding men who are willing to talk about these types of things and being able to do that, I think is also really important. But there aren't that many men that are willing to talk about their mental health struggles. I mean, there are not many straight men who are willing to be able to do that either. And so it kind of adds this layer of, yes, it's really important to have this dialogue, but are the people that need to be hearing it actually hearing it? And I am hoping that we've inspired some man who is listening to this to be able to do that. And like, I think that my content is really beneficial, just like yours is, to more than just, you know, middle-aged women who are generally moms, you know, who have a Peloton, which are most of my clients, you know what I mean? Which isn't a bad thing, but it's just like, we're helping to get rid of, like, not get rid of, but we're helping to fix that demographic in some way and helping them see the benefit of mental health help.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who also need it the most are the people who need to be hearing that this and are probably not. But I don't know. It's just kind of,
I
like
mean,
that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd say they need it the most, because I mean, I definitely, we all need it. We all need.
I mean, yeah, yes, yeah.
Well, but I also think it's like anything. It's like, you know, like normalizing vulnerability on Instagram, you know, is definitely like we're getting kind of there. And I think like, you know, for instance, like, you know, you talk about going to therapy. Jordan Lips talks about going to therapy. Changing Chase talks about going to therapy. It's like the more men are that speak up about like actually like normalizing feelings and emotions, and also awareness that like, hey, like, yeah, we might be guys, but we struggle with the same things. Like you care about, you have body image issues just as much as like we do. Right. I think it's like, we think that like, oh, guys, they have more testosterone. They can be stronger faster. They can get jacked faster. They don't have as many problems with their bodies. Right. But it's like, how many times have we seen, you know, especially in with the women we coach, it's like, well, I want my partner to be, you know, more fit, you know, and like there are the same kind of expectations on men that there are women. Like we just tend to like, you know, I think because of like the patriarchy and like masculinity, we're like, oh, well, you guys have gotten plenty of passes. You don't need to have all this. Right. Which we tend to like, you know, make ours. But I think to your point, it's like, yeah, everybody needs it. And, you know, if you're listening to this, you actually might have someone in your life, like a man that you should encourage to like be okay, like letting him have some feelings, letting him talk about things. You know, it's like, I think I could probably count on like two hands how many times I've actually seen my husband cry. But every time I do, I'm like, gosh, like, please, like, let yourself do this more.
Yes.
You know, because it's like, I want to know that you're, if you're sad or if you're feeling some way, you know, it's like, we definitely can pinpoint anger and anxiety pretty well. But I think like, how many times, like, are you not even allowing the men in your life to cry and have that? Because, you know, it's like, when Baz the other day, you know, he had gotten dumped and he like walked into the kitchen and like just like was bawling and like gave me a hug. I'm like this is probably the first time I'd seen him cry since he was like a little boy, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, just from an injury standpoint, right? Sure. And it's like, gosh, let's normalize like letting your 13-year-old son cry on your shoulder, right?
Yes.
Because what an opportunity for like tenderness and to like validate the fact that like you are allowed to be super, super sad,
right?
And show it.
Well, right?
And not man up.
Totally. Well, and how transformative that could be, not only for individual men, but men as a whole and the patriarchy and whatever, because as they are allowed to be human themselves, accessing that humanity will create a lot of positive change and a domino effect, because part of the reason that we have such the downside to patriarchy is because of that blockage from their own humanity. I mean, you feel your anger and you stop there, where we know anger is a secondary emotion. And what is behind that is a more vulnerable emotion that you don't want to feel. So it's, you know, typically shame, loneliness, like something, sadness, something like that. And that's where connecting with those emotions allows you to be authentic and vulnerable and hold space for other people, which you can't oppress other people from that place of connection.
Right. And it kind of makes me wonder, and this is me just like hypothesizing, but if in a heterosexual relationship between a man and a woman, if the man is not willing to be able to acknowledge his emotions or be able to show them, and so does that, and the woman wants a sense of connection with that person, or wants a sense of validation. Does that then lead to them choosing things like weight loss, so they get that type of attention or those types of things? Like, so because maybe there's a lack of attention in the marriage where, you know, some of the emotional things aren't, you know, being brought to the forefront. And so like, would that be beneficial as well, to be able to do that, so we aren't going into this realm of, you know, what would resolve the issues in my marriage or within myself?
You losing 20 pounds.
Yes.
Oh gosh, what an interesting thought. Because if you think about like how many people think it's like, if you know, if you feel like weight loss will make you happy, that means that your spouse will also be happier with you if you are physically happy, right? Like if you're happy, if he's happy with my physical self, then our marriage is gonna be great. When you maybe are maybe lacking more of like the emotional level or the emotional ties, like the crying, the weeping, the sharing of sadness, the sharing of frustrations, and instead of it being like, we have this like not very multifaceted relationship where it's like, you're either happy with me or you're not happy with me.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Or disappointed in me or not. But at the same time, if like you're happy with my body, then we must have a really incredible relationship.
Right.
Which is why when people like have affairs and things like that, then it's like, oh wait, what happened? Like, I remember this is such a like a infantile thought, but it's like, I remember, you know, when Halle Berry, like, you know, she had had a couple, like her partners had like had affairs or cheated on her. And you're like, it's Halle Berry. Like, how do you cheat on Halle Berry? Right. Like same with Jennifer Lopez. Right.
But
it's like,
yeah, because it has Beyonce
nothing,
or whatever,
right, because it has nothing to do with their physical person. Like just because Halle Berry and like Jennifer Lopez are smoking hot,
right,
doesn't mean that they're you know, they don't have any other.
They'll always have meaningful connections with other humans.
And their partners will always be happy with them.
Yeah.
It's like.
Totally. Well, and similarly, like there's not a correlation between a scale weight and actual true confidence. There's a correlation between a scale weight and needing conditional self-approval and conditional self-love. Yeah. But there's not a correlation between true confidence, AKA having your own back, meaning I see my reflection in the mirror. Immediately a judgment comes to mind. And instead of saying, oh, the judgment is correct, I'm in a nightmare, it's realizing like, oh, that was just a thought. And even if I still think it's kind of true, I'm going to treat myself like a human being, like I would my daughter, son, sister, brother, friend, whatever. And I'm going to soothe myself, soften that, be like, okay, so maybe I think I look tubby or whatever. So then that creates an emotion. And instead of, I don't even have to go so far as to be like, that's a total lie, you're not tubby. But even like, oh, you're feeling tubby today. That's okay. Everybody feels tubby sometimes, you know, for all kinds of reasons. Not enough sleep, period coming, you know, what you ate before, whatever. But the point is having your own back, treating yourself like a person instead of a problem or an object that needs to be fixed.
And I think that's also really important. That's, you know, there was a time where I knew that my mental health couldn't manage stepping on the scale, to be honest with you, because I put so much emphasis on it. And it was right after I'd lost a significant amount of weight too. And I stayed off the scale for 18 months because I couldn't look at what was happening objectively. I couldn't. And the goal was for me to gain lean mass. So of course the scale is going to go up, but I couldn't look at that objectively to such a point, even knowing what that was, I couldn't take away the emotional part of like, I'd worked so hard to get to this number. And so until I could look at it objectively, it was the time that I could finally get back on the scale. And I think that's one of the big things that I think is kind of correlated. I'm trying to draw a correlation here, but one of the big things that I've been working on is when I'm feeling a certain emotion, I want to honor what that emotion is and say, you know, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is the truth of what I'm feeling right now, but it doesn't mean that, you know, that is the reality, that is the actual picture truth. And so in that moment, when you see what's going on in the scale, like it, you know, it's natural that sometimes to feel a little bit disappointed, and that's okay. But just recognizing again, the objectivity of that, same thing with our emotions and like our mental well-being and our mental health is, yes, I can have these negative emotions that are feeling this way, but like, what's the reality of my situation? And so trying to have that big picture thing, like we can similarly take what tools we use in weight loss or nutrition and also try to apply those in our mental health and our well-being.
Yes.
As well. And I think that's important is to realize that there isn't necessarily, you've got your nutrition and your, you know, your weight and, fitness and your wellness in one circle, and then you've got your mental health in another circle, and there's no overlap. Like there is still a Venn diagram of things where you can use certain tools and being able to come to certain conclusions or being able to understand yourself.
Totally. Because it does. The mind-body connection is crazy, right? Because physical symptoms can inform how we feel, think and feel mentally, right? And then how we think and feel can also affect how we physically feel. Like they los dos.
Yeah. And I think I love what you guys are both saying, because it's so true. Because how many times are we in like an emotional surplus?
Yeah.
Right? But we don't know what to do with it. Because we're like, oh, emotional surplus. Cut calories, physical. Mm. It's like, no, those two are not
so
the same.
Good.
Yeah. It's like emotional surplus should be handled with an emotional, like diet source, where you actually like hash it all out. You put it all out. You like, you track your emotions and you take inventory of where you're at. Like, hey, maybe we're having a whole hell of a lot of anxiety lately.
Yeah. Track your emotions, your food.
Yeah. And it's like, I think sometimes we answer it that way, when in reality, what you guys are saying is like the mind body connection and mind body harmony are part of it. Like you cannot have great mental health and crappy physical health. Physical health and crappy mental health. It's like, they're not like I think we always think like, oh, when I physically feel great, then my mental health is perfect. It's like, how many of us have sat here and like the best mental base ever, but 15 or 20 pounds heavier.
Oh, and then vice versa. Like I've said before, my leanest was also my most anxious. Yeah. And granted, there were other variables at work, but at this, you know, but like, you know, we mentioned earlier, bikini pros, you know, physique competitors are often looked at as like, as the pinnacle of aesthetics when they're also at their weakest and usually the most emotionally strung out. So we have to be really careful what we're wishing for. And also to your earlier point about math and macros and all of feeling like you should be good at it, a negative do not make a positive in this situation.
Right. Yeah. You know, and that emotional surplus really has hit me really hard because I'm going to bring in a real life thing that's going on with my own therapy and life coaching right now. You know, so I have been, it's not an actual diagnosis, but at least not yet in the DSM, but I do have a diagnosis of CPTSD, which is complex PTSD. And it's essentially, you've built up a lot of kind of micro traumas that leads into this feeling of,
you basically learned how to traumatize yourself to a certain extent. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so one of my big things is I thrive on having a very high anxiety, very high stress level. And one of the big things that I've been really trying to work on is to bring that down. Well, my body doesn't want to be at this lower level. It can't sit. It can't not be those things. My body wants this gap to be filled where it's been for so long, to be able to function the way, and it's like, it almost is like an addiction to being anxious, to being stressed out. And totally. So I am having this really hard time right now learning how to regulate myself and bring myself down. And I'm not going to lie, one of the ways that I've thought about doing that is by losing weight. What better way to fill in that emotional and stress gap than to put myself in a calorie deficit when I don't have the emotional capacity to do that?
Well, totally. I have actually been diagnosed with the same thing. And I've been learning about this, I hope I didn't already tell the story on a previous podcast, but they did a experiment on a population of rats, and they had one population, which I realized like humans are not rats, but there's similarities in brain structure, which is why they do these things. So one population was raised in a stressed environment with loud sounds, unpredictable lights, those kinds of things. And then another population was raised in a safe environment. And then they brought both populations into the middle and introduced the stressors. And the rats that were raised in the safe environment went back to their safe place. The rats that were raised in a stressed environment went back to their stressed place, not because it was safer, but because it was more familiar. And this is how we know our brains are wired to help us survive, not to make us happy. So just because you're thinking it doesn't necessarily make it true. To the earlier point, do you need to acknowledge it, name it, soothe it, repair, you know, use reparenting skills? Yes, all of that. But at the same time, to your earlier point, using curiosity to make sure that we're not living in like a labyrinth of our own man-made misery, but actually being able to zoom out and be like, is this even aligned with what I believe? Would I ever in a million years tell one of my children or somebody that I loved that losing weight would make them a better person or feel better about themselves? Would I ever do that? So if I wouldn't, then that's not really a value. That's a shame response. That's something that I've just learned to abuse myself with. And that's what we want. You can never build your confidence when you're abusing yourself at the same time, right? So to your point, why does believing in your own worth feel so hard? Because of the trauma, because of the faith that requires, because it is unpracticed, where we have a lifelong history of practicing all of the you suck, you should have, you'll never, you know, if only you were like this other, you know, all of that is so practiced, you know, like in terms of neural pathways, those are the six lane super highway. And then the other one that's like, maybe I am good enough right now as is like, you know, Indiana Jones, like going through the buggy, like ripping you in the face. It doesn't necessarily feel better. That's the thing. It doesn't necessarily feel better, which is why we have to practice this awareness and this mindfulness.
And I think it's really interesting because, you know, we're kind of putting ourselves in maybe an ironic position as people who work as nutrition coaches, where we're telling people, don't lose weight. I want to make it clear. If in reality, if you think that losing weight is something that will help you and it's for the right reasons, I'm absolutely willing to be able to do that, because I would be like, it would be wrong of me to say, I don't want to help people with their nutrition, but also realizing just by helping you with your nutrition does also not equate to weight loss is the only way that that's going to be able to do it. And so it's been amazing to see how my own approach has changed, especially over the course of the last 4 years, not only trying to integrate like, hey, I want to be an emotional support to you. Here's what I'm able to do. You know, here are things that are outside of my scope and why you might need to seek a licensed mental health practitioner in order to do that. While also like still helping people with their nutrition in whatever way that might be. Again, that's why I will never shame anyone for wanting to lose weight. Because once we realize what the real purpose is, and it's not coming from a place of shame or hate, or if that is the motivation, trying to come up with some other skills to be able to do that while focusing more on habits that will help them live the life that they are actually meant to live. Because guess what? We are meant to have energy and to be able to sustain the pursuits of our life. The only way that that's going to happen is by fueling our bodies with food in a like in the right way to be able to have happen. And so one of my goals with my clients, and I know it's the same with you just based on this conversation, is you want to make sure that they're being fed well enough to be able to live their pursuits and to be able to do it in a way that is reasonable and happy, where they're not hating their lives or thinking, you know, there they are doing something that brings them joy or happiness and thinking about food the entire time instead.
Totally. Whereas this could actually be, paying attention to yourself and to your body is such a great opportunity for awareness, but it's also based on the way we've all been conditioned and the way society is. If weight loss is your lifelong pursuit, that's something we want to start getting curious about, because you are meant for way more than that, for sure.
Yeah. Part of being well-fed, like you guys mentioned, and agreed, like we're not, I mean, weight loss, you can want weight loss, absolutely. And you can pursue weight loss. But in all those off seasons where you're supposed to be in maintenance, being fully fueled and fuel fed, that's when you actually get to meet yourself for the very first time. And that's where all the extra work gets done too. It's like people are always like, what do I do in maintenance? Like, I don't know who I am without a weight loss goal. It's like, really, there's a lot you can do in maintenance, actually arguably more than you can do in a deficit, because in maintenance you actually have clearer sense of who you are because you are fully fueled. Like that that part's on the table. So what else is coming up for you? What is bringing you anxiety or depression or sadness or frustration or disappointment? Like, answer that call, right? So that's how you would start bringing that like Venn diagram you're talking about together with physical and mental health. It's like, we can fully have phases where we focus on the physical, but really truly most people neglect the mental. And as we talked about earlier, like weight loss isn't therapy. Weight loss isn't a way to like fix your body. Like fixing your emotions and your mental well-being will actually arguably sustain you way longer in life than 5 pounds.
Hey, there it is. There it is, folks.
All right, Zach, we'll probably stop this and then talk to you for 17 hours more. Tell everybody where to find you and what you offer.
Yeah. So Instagram is probably where I post the most often. You can find me at Motion Sustained. I do have a website. I am attempting to update that more regularly. It's not my strong point.
Us ADHDers can only do what we can do.
Right. I do have some resources there. That's motionsustained.com. If anyone prefers email, you can email me at Zach, Z-A-C-H, at motionsustained.com. I've also got some really fun other podcast ventures that are going to be coming out, not for me, well, maybe personally, that's a different story, but where I'm going to be a guest on some. And so, you will, see those on my Instagram page as well. I try to be able to make my story, my perspective known. I don't think that I'm grandiose or anything like that. I just want people to realize that they're not alone and whatever that they're in. And that's really my biggest goal is, over the course of the last 37 years, there have been so many moments where I felt alone and felt like no one, like I haven't had anyone to turn to. And I don't want anyone to ever have that feeling that's there. And that's why I think these types of conversations are just so important to be able to have. And I appreciate both of you sharing so much of that, just in realizing like, it really is our humanity that brings us together. And I think that I'm just like, I'm so grateful for the both of you and for the conversation that we've had in the past and even right before this podcast, and that we can share so much of our struggles with whatever it might be with nutrition or faith or life as a parent or any one of those things, because that's what real like connection is. And that's where true joy is going to be found.
Oof, you made it. The butter dish didn't melt your face.
Thanks so much for hanging with us. If you enjoyed that episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe, share it to your social media, or leave a comment. That all really helps, so the kids say. If you want to find us, you can find us at Instagram at Butter Your Macros.
On the web at butteryourmacros.com.
Twitter and TikTok at What's Up Butters. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks.